This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Cavs wrapped up. That was fun. Love to see more people complaining about team playing hard when none of their best players were on the court.
You mean blowing a 27-point lead and making us watch a double overtime game in a game that did not matter? Yes, you're right. Nothing to complain about.
Matter. Did it go in the win-loss column?
It didn't matter.
No.
It did not matter.
Does it count historically?
It counts in the box scores, but that's it.
Did it count historically?
Because they were still the second best finisher in the team history.
Well, I am doing this. But the point is, 30 years from now, is their record going
Nobody's
to be 64?
Imani Bates' 30-piece or whatever it was
No,
yesterday.
That's not the point. Is their record going to be 64-17 20 years from now?
It's going to be 64-18.
Yes, that's because that game counts. Lawyered. Oh, we're off to a start today. Woo! Feeling on fire. Now, we do have to get to the Joe Flacco elephant size Joe. Oh, Jesus. How about this? We're going to get to Joe Flacco coming back to Cleveland.
What is it about Joe Flacco you wanted to say?
I was going
to
say, Joe Flacco elephant in the room. No. You know, we're just going
to abandon
that.
Why don't you
go
back to West Virginia because you can't talk for bleep.
This is exactly what happens is I get real high on the hog and then God immediately smites me or spites me or both of those. I've been smoting. Now,
I talk for a living.
Now, the conversation today, one, just, guys, even if this is just fan service, can we just have this real quick? Even if this is just fan service to make the fans happy, that's fine. Can we just agree on that premise that if because I've seen that out there that, well, they only did this as a my bad to the fans. After last year, I kind of think, you like Nick Chubb? We're going to get Nick Chubb back for one more year, just for you, Pookie. I think that's where we're at.
I would hope that if this was we're doing this for the fans, my bad, whatever, that you would have found a way to do something better than Joe Flacco. No disrespect to Joe.
Aren't you the guy who said there's not better than Joe Flacco out there?
It's all hot mess.
So what could they have done different? Because I think
nothing.
That's... Because you and I agree.
Joe Flacco...
To me, it's all... Nobody's going to change their fate this year unless we're all wrong on one of the three guys behind Cam Ward in this draft. And even then, I don't know Cam Ward's going to change the Tennessee Titans' fate. So if this is all about lipstick on a pig, then spread away. Because Joe's the guy that people in this town loves. He does fit the system. And listen, I don't know Joe's going to lead to more wins than last year. But I know it's going to be more watchable.
I looked at the line after the signing of Joe Flacco to see if there was any movement whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
None. I think there was more movement in the Browns versus Cleveland versus Browns lawsuits than the line for the over-under and the win total. No movement whatsoever. The folks in the desert see no difference in the Browns' prospects to win more games this fall with Joe Flacco as quarterback than Kenny Pickett or whatever they're going to end up with in the upcoming draft. What was out there, Nick, which was nothing. I think Joe Flacco was a better option than Teddy Bridgewater. I think he was a better option than maybe Carson Wentz. I think he was a better option than that's about it. Like there just were no good options and certainly no good options that the Browns could afford.
Well, and I think to your point, even if Atlanta had cut Kirk Cousins on the spot on Friday, then it becomes a conversation. But if you've got to pay Kirk Cousins an extra $6 to $10 million a year to trade for him in whatever salary swap you do with Atlanta, and you have to give up any pick, and I'm talking about third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round pick, that's not where Kirk is in his career.
Right.
And so, like, I think this there is a segment of fans who are going to be happy by this.
They'll sell more Flacco jerseys in the team shop. Good for the Browns.
And listen, I think, point blank, I think the offense will have a bigger play element, which is what fans cling to, even if you're losing. And here's the thing. The Browns spent a lot of time telling everyone it was that quarterback. That quarterback is why we stank last year. So, if it really was, if the roster's not the problem, if Kevin's not the problem, if everything else, it was just that quarterback.
Which, by the way, that quarterback wasn't on the field for the remaining 10 games of the season.
Which is a fair point, but one that they seem to sidestep around. But if it is just about the quarterback, well, then any quarterback of any repute should be able to step in there, give you consistency, and win you games.
I think that what Joe will give them is someone who will come in and compete with Kenny Pickett because sound bites are not sworn testimony. I remind people that all the time. And I certainly don't expect Kevin Stefanski to go out there and say, yeah, we know Kenny Pickett stinks, but we're just throwing stuff against the wall and hoping something sticks. No, of course he's going to say, we believe in him. We think he can start for us. We think he can do something. I can't wait for the Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett training camp. Quarterback competition plus insert rookie quarterback name here.
You know
how much I live for training camp quarterback battles. Because if you have two and three members in a quarterback, you have no quarterbacks.
I do like the idea that this is a throwback to the days of yore where it was Josh McCown versus RG3 and Cody Kessler. You want to talk about, this is a callback to early Haslam. Like, this is where, like, you get a really good show and they're like, remember that thing you kind of annoyed you from the first like couple seasons that we did away with because it wasn't working? We're going to do that again, but we're going to do it 10 times better or worse.
You know what? We're so back.
We back. Yes. We back. They back in Berea.
I mean, these training camp practices are going to be lit. They're going to go to Carolina, duke it out with the Panthers.
Emphasis on Duke.
Philadelphia, they're going to duke it out with the Eagles, which that probably is not going to go well because the last couple practices the Browns had with the Eagles did not go well for them. I don't anticipate that changing, but yeah, can't wait for another Browns quarterback camp competition. Bartender!
But you just come up with your own phrase? It's like a sitcom character. And then my wife left me. Bartender! I like the Joe signing because I like Joe. I think they do need a professional in the room, and I think that even pertains to Kevin. Like, I mean, think you need more leadership from the quarterback spot, and guys, like, they should give Kenny Pickett a chance. They should give the rookie a chance. Like, this is, while we can say this is akin to RG3, Josh McCown, and Cody Kessler, this could be akin to Russell Wilson, Tavarius Jackson and Matt Flynn, which is the quarterback room that Russell Wilson came out of. Yeah. I don't think that's what it is, but okay, you've got a guy fans like. You've got a young guy that you think, all right, he's a product of the sucky environment for the quarterback in Pittsburgh, and we're taking a young guy. I don't know that it automatically leads to the success people want, but it's better than we're going to give Geno Smith the third round pick and then probably, what, $40 million a year is what I saw? $45 million a year at 34 years old? That strikes me as far more desperate as, hey, it's not a good quarterback year either on the veteran or rookie front. Let's just go ahead and throw a couple things out there, knowing next year we're probably going to need a quarterback again.
Yeah, I mean, they have to play 17 games this fall. So, I honestly didn't have a problem with them bringing Joe back. I mean, of the options that were available to them, he was one of the better ones, but that's not saying a lot. And it's going to be an interesting dynamic to see how, when they go into the draft here, they're drafting a quarterback. I think that's very fair to say. The question is, where are they going to be drafting that quarterback? I don't think it's going to be a two. I'm actually very confident that it's not going to be a two. But they're going to draft one of these guys probably in the middle rounds, similar to, you know, just throw something against the wall, see if you can get something to stick. They're going to sign an undrafted rookie free agent probably to round out that room to give them four offseason quarterbacks, which is standard procedure for just about every NFL team. But yeah, it's not going to be exciting this year. And name recognition plus the memories of those five games in 2023, yeah, that might get fans excited for the first few weeks, but I don't know how long, once that season starts, Nick, how long that excitement will last.
I do love that on Friday, your boy's down with massive back spasms, couldn't go to sleep Thursday night. Of what I did catch from Friday in this weekend show is Peterlin, right aboard the Chitrain. This means that they're back on board for Shador. I love that we've gotten to a point where everything the Browns do confirms what everyone thinks they're going to do.
Boom!
Everything's confirmation bias. I feel like I'm the only guy. Like, I didn't come out and be like, oh, they're taking Abdul Carter, center the whole time. Everybody and their mother was like, this means we're going to trade down out of two. This means Jackson Dart. It has been wild to watch people react to one move of a quarterback making $4 million and act like, they're not going to take a quarterback now, too. Hell if I know. I just know that Joe Flacco isn't going to stop you from taking somebody that you love, and he's also not. He's just enough that if you don't love the guy, you don't have to take him. 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Right or Wrong FAN, social media reaction on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Quick hits coming up at 2:40. Carlos Boozer. Yes, that Carlos Boozer, NBA analyst, coming up at 3. Joe DeLeon, NFL draft and college football analyst, coming up at 4. We'll talk a little bit Browns there, NFL draft. We'll also get into the situation with the Tennessee Volunteers quarterback situation. For now, we're going to go by, like, he's Seal, Nico. That's what I'm going to start the show with. Well, I'll attempt the name later. Alex Maloney's also the NFL draft, NFL Network draft producer. We'll get the inside scoop on producing the NFL draft. But is this a legitimate quarterback competition, or is this fixed for Flacco from the start and might not be what Joe Flacco or the Browns want, but it might be what they need? That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I think the most important thing is for where they are. If Kevin really is serious about winning this year, and it would be in Kevin's best interest to do so, the GM gets to think of things like the next year. The head coach gets to think of, how do I get to next year? I think Joe can be that guy. And listen, I think if they're right about Kenny, Kenny can be that guy. But I just think whatever they do for that locker room, I think for that locker room to heal, and it's not just about the Deshaun stuff, but it is about the Deshaun stuff. It is about all the immaturity that seeped into that room last year, that it was apparent. And I think they have to do this right and give. It doesn't matter if they draft a guy in the third round, the second round, the first round, or the seventh round. If you take a quarterback and you bring in that undrafted free agent too, yeah, everybody competes for this thing. It might naturally be weighted towards Joe Flacco because of Joe's talent or because of Joe's history and arm talent. It might also naturally be weighted towards Kenny Pickett because you gave up an asset for him and he is a former first rounder. Okay, everybody gets a chance to compete if you really want to heal that locker room.
Well, and also, too, your rookie is going to get a chance to compete, too.
Yeah.
What, regardless if it's the second pick, the 32nd or 33rd pick, or even down the line in the draft, that rookie...
Like undrafted?
They're going to get... No, I'm just talking about the selection they make draft weekend. That guy's going to get a shot to compete for the job with the one veteran and the pseudo-veteran that they traded for. It's going to be a three-man competition. The fourth guy is just going to be a camp arm.
Not Deshaun, by the way. He's the fifth man. But he's not really. He's like the invisible man in this case.
He's the Instagram model.
Yeah. Everybody loves that now. That's now. It's funny, but I don't hate it. We're all glomming onto it. 216-474-0092. Is this a legitimate quarterback competition or fixed from the start? Kenny Pickett, I love quotes, man. When you can't tell the tone and timbre of somebody's voice, where Kenny Pickett told TribLive.com at the Pitt spring game, said, "That's a plan, man, to start. I'm not going there to hang out. I want to go play. I'm excited. Been working hard for it, taking it day at a time." There's just something about the "I'm not going there to hang out," which really made me laugh over the weekend. I know this is a very tough... We're the football show. Everybody knows it. We know more football than anybody. And we say it many times because that means it's true. But I'm just going to tell you, Kenny Pickett being like, I'm not going there to hang out. Okay, Kenny. All right, buddy.
I mean, I'm glad he clarified that.
You might end up being coming here to be like, the North Coast in summer is really nice, but I appreciate the attitude.
What did Jameis say? Great 90-day Airbnb or something for Cleveland?
I believe it was some of the best 90 days you'll find anywhere.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't forgotten that one. And everybody's like, it's a compliment. I was like, okay. Jeff, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, I was calling because I was wondering, why are so many people happy? It wasn't very good last year for the Colts, and the Colts had to go back to Richardson, who probably wasn't ready. And if the Colts thought he was any good, they would have kept him. I mean, I know they got Daniel Jones, but they're paying him more money than what they would have been able to work from what we paid Flacco for. They could have kept him and saved money and not took Daniel Jones. So, and then the last game he played for us in the playoff, he was terrible. But everybody's happy. I'm just confused.
I would like to point out that his numbers last year in Indy look almost identical to his numbers from 2 years ago in Cleveland. The difference is the win-loss record.
Right.
I think in terms of he looked terrible in Indy, well, 2 years ago in Cleveland, he had a 60% completion percentage, 1,600 yards passing, 13 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. Whereas last year in Indy, 65% completion percentage, 1,700 yards, 12 touchdowns, 7 INTs. Maybe the context around the quarterback matter. And by the way, he's not Deshaun. And the last time you saw Joe Flacco, you're in the playoffs with him. That's about it.
I think the Browns could have announced they re-signed Bernie Kosar and brought him out of retirement, and there'd be a celebration from Browns fans. I think that's kind of where we're
actually,
at.
Okay, you say that like that would be like a bad choice. People would absolutely lose their mind if Bernie unretired right now. And all of a sudden, 31-year-old Bernie was out there. Yeah. But Bernie, the Bernie that was moved on by Bill Belichick, people would worship if he could just walk through a time portal.
Yes.
Yes.
100%. That's why I said that. Because, I mean, Browns fan loves nostalgia because, unfortunately, that is all Browns fan has to cling to.
Here's the thing, though. Joe fits the system. Joe's had success in the system. And again,
I would argue he's looked the best of any quarterback under Kevin Stefanski. I would make that granted, he's the only guy in franchise history to throw for 300 yards in 4 straight games. So, Joe, by the way, that happens on a weekly basis around the National Football League. Only in Cleveland, Ohio, is that a rare occurrence or historical benchmark.
Well, but I think, if there's a chance, you might not win a lot of games, right? Because
there's a very good chance they might not win a lot of games this year.
Well, but okay, the difference between 6 games and 3 games might be people's jobs. But if there's a chance you could be a 3-win team again, having an offense that looks functional would go a long way for Kevin to be like, well, yeah, we had a 40-year-old starter who could do the offense, make big plays, but he was an interception machine and he's 40 years old. That, even at 3 wins, how 3 wins looks matters. Well, and you can trust Joe, and I think they feel the same about Kenny, although you and I might disagree with them, probably, definitely. But at least then you can go, all right, the offense looked functional. Now we just need to, supercharge the quarterback position.
I guarantee you, let's assume, for sake of conversation, Joe's your week one starter. But he's, as you described, offense looks functional, but he's an interception machine. There will be a quarterback change made. Absolutely. They will not.
That's Cleveland.
They will not ride Joe Flacco to the finish line.
Don't step
they
out on a limb there, Darryl.
Absolutely make.
Don't half-ass it. Don't ride the fence. Yeah, you just said the Cleveland Browns will have a quarterback change in a quarterback room that includes Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett.
Yes.
You just took the minus 15,000 candidate and talked about it like it was the plus 15,000 candidate.
Just tell it.
I'm going to tell you right now. No, not a lot of people are going to say this. Joe Flacco throws interceptions. Joe Flacco starts for the Browns next year. There's going to be a quarterback change. Woo! Easy there, slugger. I mean, put the guns down, Wilkes Booth. Simmer down over there.
Nobody does quarterback changes more frequently and better than the Cleveland Browns do. About the only thing they do well.
Now, I'm going to tell you. You go into the season starting RG3. You're going to go to another quarterback at least once. Okay. All right. That's good. That's very good analysis there.
Over under number of quarterbacks we see this season is?
I actually would like to know if we put it up against Joe Flacco's 2023 team, which had 5 quarterbacks start, right, whether the Browns are going to take it to 6. Can they level it up by 1? Can we get 6 quarterbacks to start this
year? There have been many unique, I think is the word I'm going to use there. It'll keep me employed. There are many unique things that have happened when it comes to Browns quarterbacks over the years. I would say getting to 6 starters in one season, even for the Browns, might be hard for them to do. So they could try. I mean, you got to have goals, Nick. But 6 quarterbacks in one season, starting quarterbacks in one season, might be hard to do. They've had 6 players take snaps in a season before, but they've never had 6 different starters.
So I think it's in the Browns' best interest to only do that. Not a break glass in case of emergency, but if a player
just for fun?
No. Because I think to use this season as a buildable year, you have to have quarterback continuity. You can't. Okay, well, Joe was functional for 7 games, but you're 1-6, so we've got to find out what we have in Kenny Pickett. No, is Kenny the better quarterback than Joe Flacco? Because then you'll go there. Now, if you get to December and you are 1-11 and the rookie quarterback has shown development and you want to do what the Eagles did in 2020 with Jalen Hurts, which is bringing him a 4-game audition. Similar to what they tried to do with DTR, and then he fumbled the bag so impressively that they had to take it right back. Okay, but in terms of, like, you need one guy to start the bulk of the season, yeah, and you can't have a quick leash on him. So whoever wins that job, to me it's not about what's your win-loss record, because I don't think the quarterback's going to control that. To me it is, okay, is the offense giving them a chance to win? Because if they're passing, that's the bar. It's not, can you be a top 10 offense? That's not the way this is set up.
Right.
Can you make occasional big plays? That also might mean negative big plays, but this can't go on quarterback. If you're scoring points, even if you're giving up points offensively, I'm sorry, whether it's Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco, quarterback continuity. You can't go Flacco, Pickett, rookie. Oh, we got to go back to Joe. You can't do what Indy did last year, because that's how you turn a 6-win team into a 2-win team.
Right.
That's how you and honestly, it's how you negate growth on the offensive side of the ball, whether it's your O-line, your receivers, your running backs, whatever.
You know what the goal at quarterback should actually be this year? Can we start less than 4? Because the last 2 years, they've had to start at least 4.
Can we
start there? Can we start less than 4 guys this season?
How about we go three? Yeah, let's go less than 3.
Can we get only two
guys start a game, start games for you, you might have a chance to still be bad, but very watchable.
You might get to 6 wins.
216-474-0092. Is this a legitimate quarterback competition or fixed for the start for Joe Flacco? And big news out of Berea today, at least for me. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, Daryl, today is LSU tight end Mason Taylor Day in Berea. You might not know this. Me likey quite a bit. And he is the scion of Akron legend Jason Taylor and Miami legend Joy Taylor. He'll visit the Browns today in Berea. Outside of quarterback is tight end, the most guaranteed position for the Browns to take in the draft.
I was going to say running back guaranteed, but I am willing to meet you halfway and say both are guaranteed.
Little bit of a hedge bet there. We don't do that on this show, but I'll allow it.
They're taking all 3. They're going to take a quarterback, they're going to take a tight end, and they're going to take a running back. Book it.
All right. So if we're just going to have all the positions, defensive tackle.
They've got 10 picks.
I know. Defensive tackle relatively early too.
Safety.
Yeah. So,
offensive line.
It's not. Okay, now you're killing the bit. No, I do think I think people are sleeping on maybe the ability to add not just one. Like, If this is not a two quarterback draft, I would not hate if you took a running back and a tight end early and then a running back and a tight end late. I'm obsessed with Jim Lachey's kid, the kid out of Iowa. I know there's some questions about his movement. Guys, he played in Iowa. How can you tell how good of an athlete he was playing in that system? That's why George Kittle was a fifth-round pick. I really think Mason Taylor, though. I thought you can get him at 67. You might have to take him at 33. Worth it all the way. I think the kid can be a star in the NFL.
Omaha! Well, you know, in case you missed it, and judging by how you opened the show today, you did. The Masters had a spectacular finish.
That was his?
Rory McIlroy almost needed the Heimlich maneuver because...
Did you say it in the traditional Gaelic pronunciation?
Yes, I tried to.
Rory McIlroy.
He almost choked away the Masters, but was able to, I guess by a putt, survive.
Look at the long shadows. Symbolic. This moment, the journey it's taken to get here, for all this history.
The long journey is over. McIlroy has his masterpiece.
There you go. Jim Nance on CBS with the historic call. Rory gets to put on the green jacket after almost giving it away.
Man, that sounded like it was fun. No, I just... Okay. So
you have to appreciate the drama.
Yeah, no. This is sports talk to me in a nutshell of guys who have not watched golf outside of the Masters and who their watching of the Masters is watching Sunday. And then they parachute in the next day in sports talk and they're like, let me tell you this. I've been saying for a while that it was Rory McIlroy and it was going to be his year. It was due. I'm a little gun shy. Listen to a lot of our friends in sports talk today, and a lot of them spent a lot of time talking about Rory McIlroy when they have not spent. They spent more time talking golf and Rory McIlroy today than they have the previous 8 months on whatever respective shows are. But good job, Rory. You got it done. Good job, Slugger.
Omaha.
Angel Martinez had a big return to the Gardos this weekend. 5 hits, 3 ribbies in 10 at-bats. I know that I am all aboard the Angel train well before this weekend. Any idea that maybe we just keep Angel in center field, or do you use him as a roving utility player?
Knowing the way Stephen Vogt operates, I bet they're going to use him as a roving utility player. However... What is wrong with me today? I'm agreeing with you way too much. Mm. I love the idea of having him become an everyday center fielder.
Got a better arm than Lane.
Yes, he does.
And I just don't... I don't think Angel is going to be a platoon player. I think Lane might just be. You can't come alive for roughly 6 weeks. He was great in the playoffs, too. I like Lane as a player. But in this lineup, I might feel better about the kid that can... That's got a hell of a bat and might actually have a real upside in center field long term. And just putting Lane Thomas with Nolan Jones in right field. I know that feels wildly premature, so maybe you give it a while. I know Lane's got a wrist injury right now, but here's the thing. The biggest question with Angel has not been, can he hit? It'll happen eventually.
Yeah.
It's, can he actually stick in center field? And what we saw over the weekend was a lot of really good defense. Last year, when I watched him in center field, he looked like a shortstop, second baseman playing center field. The break on the ball, it looked so much more natural defensively over the weekend. Still not perfect. It looked so much more naturally. And his arm versus Lane, those are two different arms. The one has a legit center field arm. The other guy's playing center field because you haven't had a guy to play there previously.
Omaha! Who doesn't love old school versus new school, right? And just grumpy old former NBA players. Well, we'd like to welcome Isaiah Thomas to the program. Apparently, this is the first time ever that he has seen LeBron James do what LeBron tends to do often, and that is warm up for a game, shooting the basketball shirtless in an NBA arena before they open the doors.
Just
well,
like
apparently...
Me.
It was enough to bother Isaiah's sensibilities.
I just totally 100% object to this. And if I was the GM or coach,
me too.
I would never let one of my players walk out on the floor looking like this. I mean, we are a professional NBA league.
The audio
summer league.
Yeah, the audio courtesy of NBA TV there. Like, what are we doing?
You were done listening to that, apparently.
Yeah, I was. What are we doing? Like, this is, LeBron's done this all the time, Nick. Come on.
My favorite thing about this is Isaiah talking about, if I was a head coach, Zeke, you forget what your players were accused of when you were the head coach and GM? Yeah, you know, my players would balloon to 400 pounds like Eddie Curry or get caught in real bad lawsuits with women that worked the organization. You're right, Zeke. They would not go shirtless onto that court, though.
these kids today, you got to really reel them in, you know?
I'm so much about don't cast a stone if you live in a glass house yourself, which is the just dumbest way to say the glass house thing. But the point is, Zeke just has no position to talk. You know what they should do? LeBron should go out there and take a 9-iron to somebody's knee like it's 1985. That's professionalism, if you ask me.
Self-awareness, not exactly Isaiah's wheelhouse.
Omaha! Sticking to the NBA, LeBron and Steph Curry's decade-plus streak of trading the top-selling NBA jersey has ended. The new top jersey seller, Luka Doncic. Luka was eighth in jersey sales when he was a Maverick and then traded to the Lakers. He bridged the gap and more so the final 2 months of the season. Am I allowed to point out that this strengthens the case of conspiracy talk that the NBA desperately wanted to help grease the skids of Luka to L.A., even if I'm only like 81% in on the idea?
This is painful for me today. I love the idea.
Man, we might just shut the rest of this week down. Because there's just so many W's for me.
You're out here eating W's today.
And other things. Now, this is just... Listen, I think we've got enough... The David Stern thing has always kind of flown contrary to this. The league absolutely should have stopped Luka Doncic being traded to L.A. They didn't want to, because Luka in L.A. is far more box office for them than Luka in Dallas. Now, do I also want to point out that Mark Cuban was supposed to still be running the franchise after selling it to Dumont's? And then the NBA killed that language? Because I'll be honest, if Mark Cuban was there, Luka would still be a Dallas Maverick. Oh, should I also point out that Nico Harrison, the GM, never really wanted to be a GM in the first place, according to a lot of reports, and is a Nike guy. Where does Nike want their biggest star? Can I just point out all the very, very big points of maybe happenstance that have led Luka to be in L.A. Laker and now being the first Euro to ever have the highest selling jersey in a single season in NBA history?
The video of Mark Cuban's face in his hands during the "Fire Nico" chants the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Priceless.
Yeah, he's also a problem.
Got to switch it up to football real quick before we go back to the NBA. We love Netflix documentaries, do we not? Well,
no.
We don't?
No.
Not a fan of the Netflix documentary, huh?
No.
Well, you might like this one. Netflix apparently is planning on doing a tell-all documentary on all the bad stuff Brett Favre has done over the years.
Mm.
I think I will be tuning in for that. I don't know about you, but I definitely will.
I want a full, and I mean, maybe like an average part of the series to be based off just pictures of himself he sent to people. Can I get that?
No, we don't want that. No, I believe
that's exactly. I mean, the welfare embezzling, that has its place in the documentary. I just would like to see, we maybe just line up people. They could just tell their story in like a line of, and then Brett sent me his, whatever.
They're calling this The Fall of Favre.
Mm.
And it's the latest installment in their Untold series. And it will, hit the streaming platform on May 20th. So mark your calendars.
My only problem is, I think, are they just going to pull the punches like they did in the Johnny Manziel one?
Well, where they only told one side of the story?
Where it felt like the Manziel family had control of the documentary, because if that's what it's going to be, I'm not all that interested in it.
We really needed some Ray Farmer in that. We really needed some, Haslam's in that. Needed a little more. We needed the homeless guy in it.
We needed, like, Cleveland bartenders in it. We need different Instagram thoughts in it. That one lacked a lot of
bouncers
to it.
Needed some bouncers in
bouncers
it, too.
Bouncers to it. And maybe a couple teammates, like, ones that didn't think he was a good dude. And then, of course, so as long as they avoid that fate, I'll give it a chance. But if they even sugarcoat it even a little bit, then you are going to hear how much I don't like Netflix documentaries there. Carlos Boozer, former Cavalier. You guys remember that, judging by the Twitter comments? Former NBA player and also NBA analyst joining us in 5 minutes. We'll talk the Cavs' readiness for the playoffs with the Booze Cruise Missile in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.